In December, Wisconsin lawmakers introduced a bill that calls for the Department of Public Instruction to develop a K-12 civics curriculum that emphasizes civic understanding, participation, and pride. It would also require Wisconsin high schoolers to take one half credit of civics instruction in order to graduate. Here's one of the bill's authors, Republican Representative Amanda Nedweski, during a public hearing last week.
The data shows that, yes, we're teaching social studies. Yes, in some places these things may or may not be included. But clearly, in surveying across the country, including the state, we have a lack of knowledge. And we can go back to the Colleges and Universities Committee, where we often talk about the responses to the free speech survey throughout the UW system that occurred last year, and less than 50% of college students across the UW system reported having any education ever in the classroom on the First Amendment. I just feel like this is something that is supportive to the current social studies curriculum at the local level. It gives DPI a lot of freedom in developing that model curriculum, and I know that they have done really recently updated the way that they approach social studies and civic education, and I appreciate those more recent efforts. But it seems to me DPI only ever includes educators in what they do.
We're going to get two perspectives on this proposed legislation. Representative Nedweski wasn't available to join us in the conversation today. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Think we need better civics education in schools, more civics education? What to you would that mean? What would it look like? What did you encounter as a student? If you are teaching civics education, either in a separate class or as part of, say, social studies, love to hear your perspective. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Tom McCarthy is the Associate Deputy Superintendent at the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. Tom, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Before we get to this proposed legislation, Tom, I want to talk about what's been going on at the Department of Public Instruction, the DPI, when it comes to civics. The representative referenced it toward the end of that clip there. What has been going on in the DPI when it comes to reviewing how kids are taught about civics?
Quite a bit, actually. We're fortunate in this moment to have a state superintendent who is a former social studies teacher, so has a very tuned in perspective to some of the distinct needs that exist here. So what the department has done under Dr. Underley's leadership is to construct what educators refer to as a scope and sequence. So historically, the department has taken a look and created learning objectives, or standards as we call them, going the next level in to try to assist and remove barriers that districts have where they just don't know how to approach setting additional learning pieces through those standards. We've created a model scope and sequence and have, yes, included educators, but also included a broader community that exists around trying to promote and advance a better civic education for all of our learners.
At this hearing, the DPI registered some concerns about the proposed legislation. What stands out to you as points that you'd want a closer look at?
You know, I think it really comes down to the fact that there are legislative solutions for things where we need to actually change laws. And then there are situations where the legislature is sticking its nose into an area that is unnecessary and possibly potentially hostile, where you are injecting partisan politics into an issue that is incredibly fragile right now in schools and communities across the state. So keeping that lens of nonpartisan, protecting educators, one of the things that we hear a lot about when we talk to social studies teachers, educators that are focused on civics, is that they're sort of paralyzed by fear that the things that they're going to introduce regarding challenging topics will be thrown back in their face if one parent feels like this is not the right move. And that is really counterintuitive to this whole idea of how we function as a democratic society, of working through a majority in these systems and structures that are designed to stop a tyranny of the minority from controlling how government should function. So it's really that. It's the idea that you already have a branch of government that is set up and organized to provide this service. In the past couple of years, it's been functioning toward this goal. Why do we need to change statutes and put ourselves into this conversation when there's already good momentum going?
And I think the argument from supporters of the legislation is One way or another, we're falling down when it comes to civics education. Kids aren't coming out of school knowing some of the basics of how our government, our civic institutions work, and how to participate. Do you think that's a fair criticism of our current status quo in our schools?
I think that'll always be a criticism until you have 100% proficiency and success for every kid in every state. And we respect that. That's a lofty goal. It's something that we should be stretching to. The question then becomes, how do you get there? And I would argue that by putting through a bill that has no funding, no supports for classroom teachers, and just introduces another mandate in education, adds to an already overfilling list of things that schools are asked to do to serve kids. It doesn't seek to understand why. It doesn't try to figure out what's happened over time, why civics instruction has sort of taken a backseat to reading, math, and science, some of these dominant subjects that have gone through a phase of increased emphasis. And you're left with a lot of social studies teachers that feel like they are not seen, heard, and valued in these conversations about what matters to kids. That is valid. All of those things are valid. Slapping a state mandate is not going to fix that. Restoring the professionalism of educators will begin to fix that. This bill does not do that.
Before I let you go, Tom, there's been some criticism of the bill with phrases like civic pride and patriotism, not the phrases themselves being objectionable, but that they're left kind of undefined as to how they would be instituted. Is that something you worry about?
Absolutely, because it would subject that ideal, how it is implemented, to a small committee of legislators that oversee how rules are managed in agencies. And what we've seen in the past is that is a recipe for injecting partisanship into some of these things on issues that become very hard for adults to agree. And honestly, that's probably one of the biggest objections, because our orientation around this under Dr. Arnold's leadership is trying to figure out what works best for kids. A state mandate from the legislature is not going to best serve kids in an area like this.
Tom, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Tom McCarthy is Associate Deputy Superintendent at the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction, or DPI. He talked to us about what the DPI thinks of a new civics education bill proposed in the Wisconsin legislature. Now an education expert joins us for a look at the current state of civics education in Wisconsin and the most effective ways to teach civic engagement in schools. Diana Hess is Dean of the UW-Madison School of Education and a faculty member in the Department of Curriculum and Instruction. She's principal investigator for the Discussion Project at UW-Madison's Wisconsin Center for Education Research, author of two books on civics and politics in the classroom. Diana, welcome back to Central Time.
It's great to be here.
Well, we heard there from Tom making the case that until we have 100% proficiency, we are going to have complaints about how well we do with civics education. How do you evaluate, as you look around Wisconsin, how we're doing on civics education for our kids?
Well, I agree with Tom that DPI has a lot going on in civics education, and I'm really impressed by what they're doing. I think where we may disagree is that I do think we need a law that requires a high school civics course in Wisconsin. I don't think this particular law is framed in the way that's going to get us to where we want to go. But what I do like about the law is that it would require every single student in Wisconsin to take a high school civics course. And currently, that is not the case. So we are one of very, very few states in the country without a mandate requiring high school civics. And we know from research that we did a couple of years ago that about 25% of the school districts in Wisconsin do not require their students to take a high school civics course. We think that's about 65,000 students in the state who are not getting any civics in high school, and I think that's really a problem. So I do support a law that would require a really high quality course in high school civics, and I think such a law also needs to be accompanied by some funding that could be used to develop Wisconsin-specific materials that would be used for high-quality professional development. I do find it curious that we had a bipartisan coalition of legislators pass a financial literacy mandate very, very recently that's going to require every student in Wisconsin to take a semester of financial literacy. I'm not suggesting that financial literacy is unimportant, but I don't think it's anywhere near as important as civics. So I've always found it curious that this state, which has this history of really caring about the democratic participation of all people across the aisle, is a state that is not considered one of the hallmarks of civic education. I think we can fix that, and we should.
One argument I've heard along those lines is it's okay if we don't have a specific class as long as we bring civics curriculum into our social studies. Maybe our American history classes, things like that, kids will learn along the way, even without that half credit in their sophomore year or what have you. What's your response to that that argument?
So I was a high school social studies teacher for many years in a school district that did not have a high school civics requirement. And it was really a problem because if you were teaching U.S. history, you had plenty to teach. You had plenty to teach in other courses. And even if you cared about civics, it was just never going to get the time and attention that it deserved. So I think the reason we require courses is it's a way for us to say, this is so important that we want to make sure that all students learn what we would like them to learn. And I think if you're asking important content to be infused across the curriculum, the reality is it just gets lost.
We're talking to Diana Hess, Dean of the UW-Madison School of Education, faculty member in the Department of Curriculum and Instruction, talking to her about civics education in Wisconsin, a new civics education bill in the state legislature. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do we need specific civics classes for high school students in Wisconsin? Should that be a law? And then, how do we teach civics? Should patriotism and inculcating patriotism be a part of that? Civic pride, civic engagement. What is civics to you? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Diana Hess, Dean of the UW-Madison School of Education, Principal Investigator for the Discussion Project at UW-Madison's Wisconsin Center for Education Research, talking about civics education in Wisconsin and a proposed law in the state legislature. Before we go to our callers, Diana, I wanted to ask you about what a civics class should be. People have different visions. It should be to promote patriotism. No, it should be to promote civic engagement and participation. No, it's just the nuts and bolts of how things work. What should it be?
Yeah, it's such a great question. And obviously, there's a lot of debate about what constitutes high quality civics. Conveniently, though, we know that there's been a lot of work done both on the research side and on the curriculum development side to try to come up with agreement on what should be in a high quality civics class. And I think we actually can come to agreement on this. So, for example, I think most people agree that we want to make sure that students learn a lot about the founding principles of the United States. They learn a lot about in significant content. We want them to learn a lot about the Constitution. We want them to learn a lot about how the political system works and what causes the political system to work and what happens when the political system doesn't work. So there needs to be a lot of content. There's no doubt about that. Not content that's kind of drilled into students and memorized and, you know, students just spit it back out on a test. But this kind of content, from my experience as a high school teacher, is content that's really hard to learn. So, for example, to go back to what we heard at the top of the show, the legislator who has introduced this bill is very interested in students learning about the First Amendment. And I'm very interested in students learning about the First Amendment as well. But to really teach students about the First Amendment, it means that they are learning more than just the words of the First Amendment, but they're learning all sorts of things about how the First Amendment has evolved over time, different interpretations of the First Amendment, what happens when principles in the First Amendment conflict with other principles, and so on and so forth. But I think we should first and foremost care a lot about students learning high quality content. We also want to make sure that in really great civics classes, students are learning how to talk about the actual controversial political issues that animate our time, and that they learn how to talk with students who both agree and disagree with them. One of the things that I'm most concerned about is how politically polarized we are in the United States. And there's a lot of evidence to suggest that very few people in the United States regularly have the opportunity to talk about important political issues with people who have different views. And I think that's really a problem. And schools are actually a place where we have an opportunity to help students learn that very important skill. So in my view, that's one of the most important things that we should be doing in civic education. And there's ways of doing that that are nonpartisan. And it's incredibly important to make sure that civics classes are nonpartisan. But that doesn't mean that we're not teaching about politics. We absolutely have to teach about politics.
Let's go to our callers now. Liz is with us in Eau Claire. Liz, hi.
Hi there. Should I turn off my radio or what?
I'm not hearing it, so go for it, Liz.
Okay. So my thought is, and my question is, what you're, all the things your speaker just said, I sound really good to me. And I have to confess, I don't know the details of law, but noted in it somewhere, is it possible that a small group of legislatures could be dictating all of the things that are in it and not what the speaker just
Liz, like, example, I got you. Thanks for the call. You're breaking up a little. But, Diana, do you have concerns that legislation could be misused and partisanized to create a more partisan civics class?
Yeah, I think one of the challenges with writing high-quality civics curriculum is we want to make sure the curriculum is fair and balanced, and we want to make sure that the curriculum is not partisan. And for that reason, I'm personally a fan of bills that are bipartisan bills that have been carefully worked out. And one of the concerns I have about this bill, even though I agree with its principal point, which is that we should require a high school civics class, I don't like the fact that the actual details of what will be taught in the civics class were not worked out in a bipartisan way, or better yet, left to people who this is what they do for a living. You know, we've got lots of experts in civic education, both in this state and in other states. A lot of work has been done on how to think about what the content of these classes should be. So in my mind, I don't think it's necessarily appropriate for the legislature to spell out in detail precisely what should happen in these classes. I do think it's important for the legislature to say, we think that all students should take a high school civics class. And by the way, that shouldn't be the first time students are studying civics. Students should be studying civics across their K-12 school experience. And one of the concerns I have is that we know that a lot of civics that used to be taught in elementary school and in middle school is not taught any longer. So that compounds the problem. It's not only that we don't have a required high school course that all school districts offer to all students, but that in many school districts, for a variety of reasons, civics is not being taught in elementary or middle school either.
Thanks for that call, Liz. Chris is with us now in Fairchild. Chris, hi.
Hi. So I am, as the guest here is stating, I am happy to defer to educators on the content of these programs. I am not I'm bifurcated on the notion of including patriotism in such a curriculum. That being said, I went through two credits in my high school career as far as civics went, and I found them greatly valuable. And in one instance, we actually developed a county, and we kind of spent a semester doing such a program, and you understood inner workings of executive order and how the law and administration goes into it. So that shaped me in that context.
Chris, thanks a lot for that. Diana, they made up their own county and ran it as one of his civics classes. What do you think of that kind of hands-on civics education?
Well, it sounds terrific, and we know that the research supports that. Let me tell you a little bit about a civics approach that we see mm-hmm. in a number mm-hmm. of school districts in Wisconsin called the legislative semester. And it's a civics course where students form a state legislature, and they spend the entire semester proposing bills and investigating them and deliberating them. There are a variety of school districts in the state of Wisconsin that have adopted this. In Middleton, students are required to go through the legislative semester. There are high schools now in Milwaukee that are doing this. In Sauk, it's required. And I've spent a lot of time watching that form of civics, and I am extraordinarily impressed by it. It sounds very similar to what our caller is describing. So the good news is that even though there are about 25% of school districts in Wisconsin that are not currently offering civics classes or requiring them, there are examples of civics classes in Wisconsin that are not only models for our state, but that are actually being watched nationally, that are some of the best civics courses you could find anywhere. So we have really great examples of civics here. We just need to make sure that all students have the opportunity to have high quality civics.
Chris, thanks for the call. In our last minute or so, Diana, I want to ask about the incentive structure. Schools are evaluated on tests of reading and math, maybe sometimes science, but I think not civics very much. Has our school evaluation structure pushed civics to the side in many schools?
Well, I think the focus on testing in math and in English language arts has pushed civics and a lot of social studies, to be fair, out of elementary and middle schools. And I think that's really a problem. You know, I think if we require every student to have civics K-12, including a really strong, robust high school course, and if we provide support to districts and to teachers so they have the professional development they need, you know, I think we would see incredible progress. One of the things we know from research is that high quality civics really makes a difference. And so there's not a big debate about whether or not we should have high quality civics. I think in this state, one of the things that's odd is we're willing to require financial literacy, but we're not willing to require civics. I think that's really a problem. I would like to see that fixed. I don't think it needs to be fixed with this bill per se. I do have some questions about the content of this bill. And again, I want to tip my hat to the work DPI has been doing for the last couple years on civics. We're making progress. But I really encourage everybody who's listening to encourage their state legislators to get serious about getting a great bipartisan bill passed.
And we'll leave it there. Thanks to our guest, Diana Hess, Dean of the UW-Madison School of Education, looking at civics education here in Wisconsin.